Call for today. It's calling the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to order for Tuesday, February 23rd. Welcome, members. Welcome all who are here. We have a bunch of items to get through, so I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 1523A relating to fuel storage facilities. Senator Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On February 22nd, the Public Safety Committee voted to recommend passage of Senate Bill 1523. The bill establishes the Fuel Storage Facility Compatibility Fund. Using any monies from any source. Let's make that any legal source.
Why not?
I hadn't read that carefully. The Office of Emergency Management is to use the fund to provide grants to install generator connectors on fuel sources at Oregon cardlock facilities. The purpose is to provide first responders fuel during an emergency situation. There's no appropriation associated with the bill. The Office of Emergency Management would be able to administer the fund with existing staff and resources if funding were to become available. Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1523 be reported out and due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion on the motion? See no discussion. Is there objection to the motion? See no objection. The motion carries. Open the work session, Senate Bill 1537, relating to payment for community college courses by school districts. Senator Rowland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 22nd, the Education Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of Senate Bill 1537 with amendments. The measure establishes criteria by which school districts may establish postgraduate scholar programs which receive and expend state school fund monies for certain students who have satisfied requirements for a diploma. In the past, these programs have sometimes been referred to as different programs. Students that may participate in the program. Yeah. School districts establishing a postgraduate scholar program must meet certain requirements, including having dedicated staff for the program, targeting inclusion of underserved students, and describe achievement targets for participating students. This bill has a June 2021 sunset date for new programs. The subcommittee recommended the bill be amended to clarify the relationship between the program and the Oregon Promise Program. Also to add it was $82,102 appropriation for the Department of Education to provide resources for the reporting required of the agency, as well as for technical assistance to districts. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1537 as amended by the A13 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. A lot of work has been done here to narrow the scope and make sure that it's working on a particular kinds of kids. I believe that in the next few years we will look at funding for this in other ways, but right now this will get us actual data about actual kids that are in the program, and we can call fifth year students what they used to be called, and that's those kids that didn't finish their high school in four years and they need to finish up, which is a group we didn't want to get confused with this group of kids.
Thank you, sir. Say whatever you want. The fifth-year program works like a charm, and I just wish we could fund it for everyone.
We'll call it the Gerard program. That sounds good. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Open work session, Senate Bill 1563, relating to on-site septic system financing. Representative Gomberg, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Members of the committee, early on February 23rd, the Natural Resources Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of Senate Bill 1563. 1563 authorizes the Department of Environmental Quality to award a grant to develop and implement a low-interest loan program for repairing, replacing and upgrading on-site septic systems and connecting to sewer systems. The bill appropriates $250,000 general fund to DEQ, of which a minimum of $200,000 general fund must be used no later than September 1st, 2016, for a grant to a third party to operate the loan program. DEQ is allowed to use up to $50,000 for the administrative costs of implementing the bill. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1563 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The question of the representative or staff or whoever, I'm trying to figure out who's the target audience of this new revolving loan fund.
For a more succinct answer, I'll defer to staff.
Thank you, Representative Gomberg.
Okay.
Staff.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I believe it's persons who could not afford to normally get the work done on their septic systems.
Individual homes and people with small commercial properties?
The Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I believe that's true. I believe it's intended mostly for residential.
Follow up, please. Was there any low-income criteria placed on this? Or can I, if I think it's a better opportunity for me to get financing, come to this program versus using my own source of capital?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the bill does not state the exact criteria for the loan because it's going to be a grant to another entity, a non-state entity that will be operating the program. But it does list the criteria the department intends to adopt when they adopt rules. So I believe that it's intended for, you know, disadvantaged persons who could normally not afford a major repair bill on a septic system.
Yeah. Really quick, can we go to the senator for the behind-the-scenes story on this?
Yeah, so last year we had a bill that didn't make it. We talked to a lot of people, including Senator Olson, Senator Whitsitt, about the kinds of things that will be important in making sure we have a low-cost loan deal, mostly for individual homeowners. It came about because of the need at 10 Mile Lake and a bunch of other coastal lakes where we have failing systems, and the replacement system costs as much as their house would. They don't have the resources for it. So we looked around. There's a program in Washington that actually does that, and it really does set a criteria. So it's only $200,000. I think we'll set the criteria really low first. The hope is that the DEQ will go out and send an RFP. We actually wrote the RFP into the bill, if you read out what the kind of things they need to ask for, because we had just seen the one that was in Washington, and they had put an RFP out. Our goal is to for them to pick some institution, bank, lending institution. The group that I worked with was a group called Craft 3, used to be Shore Bank Enterprises, and they've done some of the programs up there. They've also had counties that have done it up in Washington. So we wanted to figure out how do we get that group, that person or that group who understands lending and knows how to get security and do all this other kind of stuff, with the understanding that the money from that Shore Bank will be augmented by us and maybe other people outside, to be able to provide very low-cost loans for people. We also put into it that if you have a sewer system going by you, you need to attach the sewer system as opposed to continue in a septic system. We also had a conversation about making sure that part of that, and they'll have to work that in as they go through, once you fix a septic system, they need to really be instructed in how to take care of that so the system will work for a longer period of time. Really designed for low-income homeowners in places like, well, all over the state have problems with septics, and the issue is how do we figure out a way that we get an institution outside of us that has a better understanding of coupled with some money from us and DEQ oversight so that we actually get as many homes as we can possibly get done, and we'll be back to ask as it works and look at it, but we need some other money.
Thank you very much. The only thing I'd put on the record is Craft 3. They're a very reputable company. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
That's our hope.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Senator. That was a good explanation. Appreciate that. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session. Senate Bill 1571 relating to sexual assault forensic evidence kits. Senator Shields, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, on February 22nd, the Public Safety Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of Senate Bill 1571 with amendments. The measure requires the Oregon State Police to adopt rules for processing untested sexual assault forensic evidence kits and to test these kits. It exempts testing of anonymous kits. By July 1st, 2019, the agency will report to interim committees of the Legislative Assembly on its progress toward entering test results into the Combined DNA Index System, CODIS. The measure also requires every law enforcement agency in Oregon to have procedures for collecting, testing, retaining, or destroying sexual assault forensic evidence kits. All kits, including anonymous kits, must be held for no fewer than 60 years. Additionally, each law enforcement agency must adopt procedures for providing information to victims about sexual assault forensics evidence kits and ensure that a single person is designated within each agency to receive telephone inquiries about kits and to serve as a liaison to the Department of State Police. The amendment appropriates $1.5 million from the general fund to add 9 positions in the DNA and biology sections of the State Police forensic labs to improve timely processing of kits. Finally, the measure creates a task force on the testing of sexual assault forensics evidence kits, which must submit a report with recommendations for legislation by December 1, 2018. The task force sunsets on July 30, 2019. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1571 be amended by the -ASIC amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close the work session. Open work session, Senate Bill 1585 relating to state finance. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 22nd, the Human Services Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of Senate Bill 1585 with amendments. This bill makes a $9 surcharge on nursing license fees authorized in the 2015 session for the Oregon Nursing Advancement Fund, also applicable to nurses who are licensed by endorsement. Spelling is actually correct, guys, in addition to exam and renewal. About $32,000 per year would be potentially be collected in additional revenue for the fund. Expenditure authority can be provided later in the biennium if needed. The bill also permits the Department of Human Services to make augmented payments to long-term care facilities that submit acquisition plans rather than require a completed transaction to purchase long-term care bed capacity by June 30th, 2016, which extends a 2015 sunset. Associated costs will depend on program participation. DHS does not anticipate a fiscal impact on the 2015-17 biennium. The amendment gives DHS the flexibility to establish a separate pediatric subacute reimbursement rate for certain pediatric nursing services. Currently, there is authority for only one rate. There is no direct fiscal impact associated with this change. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1585 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Yes, Representative Smith, please.
Thank you. Just very quickly, colleagues, I think Senate Bill 1585 is a good piece of legislation. If you really read through the bill, there's two pieces to it. One that's going to be very strong for those in the nursing industry, and then the second piece is going to be very good for those folks who have children with high subacute long-term care needs. And by us passing this, it's going to allow for us to care for these kids in a more appropriate environment and in a less costly environment. And so I think we really do need to pass Senate Bill 1585. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close the work session. Open work session, House Bill 4030 relating to medical assistance reimbursement of emergency medical services. Senator Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 22nd, the Human Services Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4030. House Bill 4030 requires the Oregon Health Authority to develop and implement two programs to better reimburse providers of emergency medical services and transportation. Providers who choose to participate would contribute funds that could then be leveraged with federal match in order to provide the resources to increase rates. In addition, the bill requires OHA to convene a work group to develop recommendations to align these programs with the goals of the Oregon Integrated and Coordinated Healthcare Delivery System, including metrics. The fiscal impact of the bill is indeterminate. The agency has identified some specific costs for modifications to its information technology system at about $300,000 total funds. However, other costs are unknown until the details of the program are worked out and the number of participants is determined. The bill stipulates that general fund monies cannot be used for the new programs, and it is assumed that the revenues to run these programs will come from the fees on providers who participate. Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4030 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Senator Girard objects. Seeing no other objection, the motion carries. Close the work session. Open work session of House Bill 4037 relating to solar energy. Representative McLean, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 23rd, the Subcommittee on Natural Resources voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4037 with amendments. The bill directs the Oregon Business Development Department to establish a program to provide incentives to owners of photovoltaic energy systems that collect and distribute solar electricity. These systems must be directly connected to an investor-owned or a publicly owned utility, and the equipment must have a nameplate capacity between 2 and 10 megawatts. The program awards half of a cent per kilowatt hour of solar power generated to qualified participants for 5 years. The acceptance of new program participants ends at the earlier of either January 2, 2019
2017, or the date which all energy systems in the program have a cumulative nameplate capacity of 150 megawatts. The program sunsets on January 2, 2023. The fiscal impact of the 2015-17 biennium is estimated at $951,561 general fund dollars, and one position or 0.58 FTE for an operations and policy analyst to manage the program. Maximum payments to qualifying participants in the program during the five-year term are estimated at $8.22 million. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends House Bill 4037 be amended by the -A3 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion on the motion. Representative Smith, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please do.
Colleagues, as you know, I'm a member of a limited liability company that does economic and business development in Eastern Oregon, and I do have phone calls. I have relationships with companies that will most likely utilize House Bill 4037 and develop in 57.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Rock, please.
Colleagues, we're upside down at $1.3 billion in 17, and all of a sudden we just keep adding stuff to this bill and the bill prior. Those are really good causes, but somewhere down the road we're going to have to make some hard decisions and start cutting. So it's a little bit tough for me to start adding to the problem when we really haven't made any steps to take care of the 17-19 budget.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hansel, please.
I was just going to say, it came before my, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, it came before the committee I serve on, and the carrier of the bill mentioned publicly that an $8 million investment was going to have a $333 million return build-out cost. And for that reason, I think it's a good investment.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Representative Smith, please.
Thank you. I just want to share with you, I have two companies I'm communicating with. One is going to make over $300 million investment in the Umatilla Army Depot. Another one is looking at a $250 million investment, again, at the Army Depot. This is a small, small price for the amount of property tax income that's going to come into Morrow and Umatilla County. I think it's a smart investment.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? See no further discussion. Is there objection to the motion? Representative Whitsitt, Senator Girard, and I believe that is it. Motion carries. Close out work session. Open work session of House Bill 4075 relating to student safety. Representative Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On February the 22nd, the Public Safety Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4075. House Bill 4075 establishes a statewide tip line for reports of threats to student safety. The tip line must receive telephone calls, text messages, emails, and will be connected to other hotlines. Tips are to be held confidential, and information on threats must be relayed to local service providers, school officials, in addition to the Oregon State Police and local law enforcement. The measure appropriates $1 million of general fund to the Oregon State Police to establish and implement the tip line and requires specific written policies and procedures to be established. These procedures include rules on processing the calls, including how to protect the identity of the call by enabling return contact, login reports, verifying reports, relying on that information to local law enforcement and school district officials. The agency's physical impact estimates include costs for three positions to administer the tip line and contract service payments to a third-party vendor to operate the tip line. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends HB 4075 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion on the motion. Senator Johnson, please.
I would just comment on the element of the third-party vendor. I, along with many others here, attended the rollout of the school safety report, and we heard presentations from two teen peers taking calls at Lines for Life. And their presentation was really extraordinary. These young people talking to other young people in a way that most of us couldn't. And I was incredibly impressed with the work that Lines for Life is doing in keeping these teen mentors and teen peers answering the phone for these tragic situations.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? See no further discussions or objection to the motion. Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session, House Bill 4113, relating to the Task Force on Drought Emergency Response. Senator Roblin, please.
Thank you. Chair, on February 23rd, the Natural Resources Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4113 with amendments. The bill establishes an 11 to 15 member task force on drought emergency response, requiring a report to the appropriate legislative committees by November 1st, 2016, that includes recommendations for improving communication to raise awareness of drought conditions and the effects to mitigate and adapt to drought conditions. The task force sunsets at the end of 2016. The amendment provides $25,000 general fund appropriation to the Water Resource Department for payment of the actual and necessary travel and other expenses to the task force and to defer the costs of additional staff support to the task force. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4113 be amended by the -2 amendment and then be referred out to pass as amended. I do want to say in the last 15 years, 12 of those years, at least one county has had a drought emergency. This last one has been fairly large and actually hit the coastal area for the first time. And I am proud to say that when I was on the water board, we extended the amount of water in our reservoir. And so the first time during a drought thing, we had plenty of water in the space. But we've got to figure out and learn from the experiences we had this time what our responses have been in these different counties. We need to get out and talk to people and then come back with recommendations so that we can do it quicker and faster and learn what some of these counties have done to adapt, because there are a number of counties on the east side who have been in drought conditions for multiple years. And we have to figure out what we can do to help in those emergency situations. I urge your support.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Representative Whitford, please.
I hope that the task force contains members from all around the state, because drought manifests itself differently in different parts of the state. And Portland, typically what we see on these task forces are people from the Willamette Valley. And, I can't think of the last time that we had somebody from Klamath show up on anything. And so I just would urge them to have a wide variety of people representing a wide variety of geographic locations.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Roblin, Representative Wissett just volunteered for the task force.
I heard that, and our governor appointed a diverse set of interest. In the bill, it actually says would need to include members from different regions of the state, western, central, and eastern. I absolutely concur with
that. Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session, House Bill 4124, relating to prescription drugs. Senator Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 22nd, the Human Services Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4124. House Bill 4124 requires the Oregon Health Authority to modify the prescription drug monitoring program to allow authorized practitioners or pharmacists to access the program information through a health information technology system. It also requires the agency to ensure compliance with privacy and security requirements. In addition, the bill permits pharmacists and certain other health professionals to prescribe and dispense one dose naloxone. The agency will not need the additional other funds expenditure limitation estimated in the fiscal impact statement. However, the additional position will be included in the budget reconciliation bill. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4124 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session, House Bill 4131, relating to collection of debts by state agencies. Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, on February 22nd, the General Government Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4131 with amendments. The measure requires financial institutions to participate in a data match system established by the Department of Revenue to identify assets held by delinquent debtors. The bill also allows the department to enter into agreements with the Department of Justice Division of Child Support to access employer data on newly hired workers. The measure clarifies current law that a writ of garnishment issued to a financial institution operating in Oregon is effective to garnish property held in another state. The bill creates civil and criminal provisions related to the misuse of matched data. The amendment makes minor technical changes to the measure. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. However, an operative date does not authorize the data match system to become effective until July 1st, 2017. There are no costs for the measure during the 15-17 biennium. The Department of Revenue does anticipate a general fund cost of $264,174 next biennium to cover fees charged by financial institutions that are in excess of what will be recovered from delinquent debtors. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4131 be amended by the Dash 7 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Rod, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, this is on the Senate Republicans' bad bill list, and the reason is it's a huge overreach by the Revenue Department. It puts banks in a very awkward position as to what data to give out and what not to. It allows garnishments out of state. This just is a huge overreach, and I would encourage a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Representative Gomberg, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colleagues, $3 billion plus, that's the amount of money that Oregonians owe Oregon right now. $600 million a year that they report in taxes owed, but they don't pay. $150 million in overpayments by the Employment Department that we're unable to collect. 9,000 businesses that the Secretary of State say do business with the state of Oregon with one agency but owe other agencies money. I'm glad to see measures like this coming forward that are giving us the tools to make sure that everyone's paying their fair share. This is a positive step, and I certainly would encourage a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative. Representative McLean, please.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no today to a large degree because I need to learn more about this. But, we have right now Apple and our federal government in a little bit of dispute concerning an iPhone, and where you had a clear terrorist attack. And so this debate isn't just simply about how do we track down, tax scofflaws and deadbeats, and God only knows how many of that amount of money is even collectible. I think this really goes to the heart of privacy. And so while we may cloak this discussion different than what's being done at the federal level right now, at the core of it is privacy and whether we're going to compel because we want to be paid private companies to give us information that is private. And so I don't think it's as easy as Representative Gomberg just says. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. I think this is a very difficult decision. And sets a significant precedent in a world in which connectivity has created privacy issues to magnify in their importance. So, I would just say before we get into political rhetoric on how we're going to position each other on this bill, we really actually need a fairly concerted effort to determine if these are legitimate concerns with regards to compelling by state law under penalty of noncompliance the transfer of private information that's in the hands of private companies. And like I said, if anyone thinks I'm overblowing this, go look online right now and read about the dispute between Apple and the FBI over one iPhone that's actually owned by someone who was killed because they committed one of the worst terrorist attacks in our history. So if Apple has the gumption to stand up under that and say, whoa, privacy needs to make sure we pause, then I think us having some hesitation here is not simply dismissed. That's why I'm a no. I'm trying to figure this out a little bit. I know me and others are very concerned that this is setting a precedent, especially in our financial institutions, that is quite troubling.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Senator Whitsey, please.
Thank you, and I apologize for coming in late. We have been debating wolves. And we voted, finally. Which I don't know, but it has been actually discussed on this is 4131.
That is correct.
But from my perspective, this bill has a fatal flaw in it, and that is Section 12 that amends the Oregon Garnishee Law to add, regardless of whether the property is held in an account that is open in this state, that allows the garnishee across any account that's held in the bank in any state. Further, it amends the Garnishee Law of Oregon, not just the collection activity of the state,
So anyone who is applying for a garnishee and then gets a court to agree with them can use this. And the emergency clause on this bill makes it effective immediately. The first six sections of this bill do not go into effect until, I think it's July 1st, 2017. But this part is in section 12. It would be subject to the emergency clause, and it would become when the governor signs this bill, it will become effective immediately. The other area is more of a policy situation where a banker or a financial institution is prohibited from using information, negative information about their customer that they ascertain through this process. But it comes down then to, I can just see a sharp attorney saying, well, when did you learn that this, my client, had a problem with his credit, for instance? And where did you learn it? Did you learn it in this process, or did you already know it, or did you learn it after the process? So I think there's a couple of very, very significant holes in this bill that can be very easily fixed. But I don't believe it. Prime time, I'll be a no.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Representative Wisnett, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll be a no, too, on this bill because I'm not testimony of my colleague in opposition.
Thank you very much. Representative Wisnett, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As I understand it, the recommendations in this bill are from the Secretary of State's debt collection audit to improve debt collection in Oregon, and that the tools that the Department of Revenue would use are already used at the Department of Justice in child support. And so it seems to me that that is a good reason to be looking at these tools, to be able to use them, and that to address the issue around banks, there will be a rulemaking process and an advisory committee, and it's my understanding that the banks and the credit unions have been invited to be on that in order to address the issues that have been raised in this committee.
Thank you, Representative. Senator, please.
Sorry to chime in again. The problem I have is if you look at the Department of Revenue and the IRS, you are guilty before you're innocent. You're not presumed to be innocent. So somebody comes through and says, you are guilty and you owe this much money, you go on their little, I'm going to collect the money. And that's what happens first. They collect the money, and if you want to fight it, then you go fight it. And I think that that's just really something that's very harmful, and it's just it's bad for the state, and I think it makes us look bad. So it's not as easy as what people think. We're going to collect this $3 billion bill. It has to do, like what a good representative said, or has to do with privacy, but it has the right to also to be that there's a fair hearing.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Huffman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There have been some good concerns raised here, and I probably need to talk to the sponsor, and I thought I had some good information, but maybe you need more. But is this bill specifically targeted to collect delinquent tax money owed to the state of Oregon to the Department of Revenue?
No.
Is it, or could it be expanded beyond that?
Broader collection authorities than that.
We're having a dispute here. As the carrier, may I call the department forward or professional staff?
Yep.
I would think because they are responsible.
Mr. Co-Chairs, for the record, DMMAC, Department of Revenue, and what the bill does is it allows us to enter into our agency only to enter into this data match system. So it would be for tax debt and it would be for debt that our our collection area collects for other state agencies. We call it other agency accounts, so it could be other debt, but the fact and the data that we're talking about here is the fact that the person has an account at a specific bank. There's no other data that's being exchanged. Would be that it could be used for our other agency accounts collection purposes or for tax purposes, but it's within Department of Revenue only.
Good so far?
Let me mull on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to my co-chair and then to my vice chair. So, co-chair Devlin.
Is this authority that would be granted to the Department of Revenue, do other states have similar authorities? Do you know if other states normally do this on a regular basis?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. The other 11 other states are doing financial institution record match, which is this tax component of it. Most of the other states are doing it for the child support purposes already. So we're not trendsetters here.
Thank you. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I want to bring some perspective to this before all of my Republican colleagues say no. It was in 2003 when then Representative Doyle and then Representative Scott raised the issue about the need to try and collect revenue from folks who are not paying. Okay, and part of this discussion at that time was, we got a lot of honest, hardworking Oregonians out there that are doing the right thing, but we have some who just aren't playing by the rules, and they need to pay, just like all the rest of us. And so at that time, this conversation occurred, and I remember, clear as can be, Representative Scott asking me to tackle this issue and to ask questions. I didn't have the background that Representative Taylor does to make this issue come forward. And so Republicans have been asking this question. In 2009, as we entered into the Great Recession, Democrats raised the issue. And so in a bipartisan manner, we've been asking this for a long time about how do we get these folks who just don't want to pay to pay. Now, I want to bring some perspective to this. The Oregon Department of Revenue does not just send up a red flag for someone who's late and immediately go out and throw a garnishment out there. It doesn't work that way. They have a process that they go through, and they go to great lengths to make it work for the taxpayer. Sitting down with them, having phone conversations. If you'll work with the Oregon Department of Revenue, all indications are they'll work with you. What this is about are the folks who are hiding from the Department of Revenue and don't want to pay their bill, and as a consequence, shift the burden onto all of us and all the honest taxpayers of Oregon. Now, I get why OBA is not comfortable with this. I get that. But let's keep in mind, the credit union is comfortable with this, and other collection folks are comfortable with this. And so the issues that the Oregon Bankers Association are raising, I think they're legitimate. And in 2017, we ought to talk with them and figure out, can we address some of those issues? But in the meantime, if we're not going to act to collect on folks who owe the state money, I don't think we're doing our due diligence, and we're not being fiduciarily responsible. So I think we just ought to keep that in mind.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Whitson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. With due respect to my co-chair of the subcommittee, I've been working to improve collections for a dozen years.
You have.
But that's not the point. Section 12, if you look at the bill, Section 12, RS 18.655, is amended to read. It doesn't say it's amended to read according to this bill. It said it's the statute is amended to read. So it changes the garnishee law of Oregon, not just for the state. It changes the garnishee law of Oregon. Further, it adds the words regardless of whether the property is held in the account that was opened in the state. It changes the garnishee law of Oregon. Then you go back here to the page 8, section 13, sections 1 through 6 of this act become operative on July 1, 2017. It does not mention anything about section 12. Section 12 then would be the date when the section 12 would be applicable would be the date that the governor signs the bill. This doesn't have to do with collection in Oregon. My concern is this changes the garnishee law of Oregon.
Thank you, Senator. See, no. Oh, there's Representative Whitson, please.
I have a question, if I may. If this allows, when you put a name in, if it goes to all credit unions, banks, so it used to be under the law, you would go ask, the Department of Revenue would ask a single bank, as I understand. This would then do a search of all banks in the state. What about brokered accounts? Because a lot of banks have brokered accounts, they have stocks, they have metals, they have all kinds of things in there. Where does that come in then if you have an account at one of these facilities? Is that then they look into those too? Or
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Whitsitt, we would defer to the definitions found in Section 1 of the bill and defines account to mean a demand deposit account, checking or negotiable withdrawal order account, savings account, share draft account, time deposit account, or money market mutual fund account. So I don't see that brokerage accounts are in there, but I don't know if they would. We would defer to the to that definition.
So if I may follow up, money markets then. Mm-hmm. So this is not just going into your checking account and looking, as I understand this, this reaches into everything that a bank or a credit union or any of these would have and looks at whatever it can find. Is that right?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Whitsitt, the idea is that we are told that there is an account with that bank or not. And so if it depends on how deep they need to look to see, you know, what the positive result is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A good and important conversation. And I think Representative McLean is on point when he talks about privacy concerns. Those should be looked at more closely and better addressed. Senator Whitsitt raised the question that the banks who are contacted can't use that contact information when they are looking at their own clients for other purposes, and I believe he's correct in that. That could and should be remedied if more state agencies actually reported these debts to the credit reporting agencies, most of whom do not. Ironically, if my wife doesn't pay her Nordstrom's bill, that affects our credit rating, but if I don't pay for child support or past debts to the employment division, those are not reported to credit agencies, and I think they should be. And by the way, those are hypothetical examples. Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, what we're looking at here is an attempt to use available efficiencies. That if the Department of Revenue wants to go looking for accounts, rather than contacting each of Oregon's 150-plus banks one by one and paying a fee to each of them for that report, they're able to use data matching, which is going to increase our ability to effectively locate resources of people that owe us money. And, Mr. Chairman, I would just recommend to the committee the report published annually by LFO on delinquent debt that details the kinds of debts that are owed to all of our various agencies. It's good and worthwhile reading, and we should take advantage of that report that's put together by LFO.
Keeps you up at night, Representative.
Absolutely.
Seeing no further discussion, I'd like to call for a roll call vote, Mr. Rocco.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Nope.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Co Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Kant?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
Nay.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Brayfield?
Yes.
Representative Whitsitt?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Close the work session. Open work session, House Bill 4135 relating to fulfilling public record requests for electronic records. Senator Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On February 22nd, the General Government Subcommittee voted to recommend passage of House Bill 4135. House Bill 4135 requires the Department of Administrative Services to coordinate efforts of fulfilling public records requests for records in electronic form in the custody of DAS. The bill also requires DAS to coordinate requests when multiple executive department agencies receive requests for electronic records in the department's custody. DAS anticipates needing two limited duration positions this biennium to carry out this work. It was determined that the department can pay for the two positions this biennium within existing resources. The position authority for the two limited duration positions will be established in a budget reconciliation bill during the 2016 legislative session. Yeah. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4135 be reported out, do pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion. Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you. Colleagues, all the positions and policies in the world won't help satisfy the public's right to know if there is not a comprehensive commitment to real transparency in state government. We've got some agencies, in my opinion, overusing attorney-client privilege to thwart public disclosure, and we've had an irregular response to other public disclosure requests, whether the press or private citizens. I support this bill because we need the expectation of conformity to the requests, but we also need a simultaneous institutional commitment to full disclosure if the public is really going to be served.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session on grants and reports. Department of Education, Senator Monroe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On February 22nd, your Education Subcommittee voted to recommend approval of a federal grant application by the Department of Education to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for a federal early comprehensive childhood system impact grant. The department is requesting to apply for a five-year early comprehensive childhood systems impact grant for up to $2,133,000. If approved, the department plans to focus on coordination between health and early learning services for children age 0 to 3 who have social emotional difficulties and developmental delays, but who do not qualify for early intervention program funding from this state. Most of the grant funds would be directed to two early learning hubs for the coordination of services and establishing a family resource management function. No state match is required. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. State Treasurer, Representative Nathan, please.
Thank you. On February 22nd, the General Government Subcommittee voted to recommend acknowledging receipt of a report from the State Treasurer on the establishment of a local and tribal government intermediate term investment pool. Since the passage of House Bill 2140 in the 2013 session, which authorized the State Treasurer to establish a local and tribal government intermediate term investment pool, similar to what is available to state agencies, the legislature has repeatedly expressed concern that such a pool has yet to be established. The State Treasurer reported that a decision has now been made to outsource to a third-party vendor this investment pool, and that the agency is in the process of negotiating a contract with one of the agency's current vendors. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion on the motion? Representative Witzer, please.
Didn't we talk about this in December that they had agreed to look into this already and do a third party and we're several months out and we're still just agreeing to? Am I not understanding?
Do you remember, Representative Hanson?
Mr. Chair, it has been discussed in the past couple of months. They've been negotiating then with the vendor on what the terms for this contract would be, and it looks like it's ready to put into place. I believe the information I got verbally was that it should be in place by late spring before early summer.
Thank you.
So it's happening.
Thank you, Representative.
And I hope will someone nod if that that is correct.
Get some
being
nods.
Confirmed.
All right.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, is there objection on the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. State Treasurer, Senator Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On February 22nd, the General Government Subcommittee voted to recommend acknowledging receipt of a report from the State Treasurer on the Investment Division.
The 2015 Legislative Assembly approved a $7.3 million and 24 position request by the State Treasurer for new investment staff, staff for a compliance program, additional information technology and data management staff, and added staff for enhanced internal auditing and general agency administrative functions. In addition to, but apart from the State Treasurer's budget, the Oregon Investment Council contracted for a state-of-the-art investment information technology application for portfolio management and risk management, consulting services, and investment accounting services. The agency reported during the hearing the hiring of the majority of the newly authorized positions and the successful implementation of the OIC information technology project. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. One last report for tonight. Oregon Youth Authority, Representative Rayfield, please.
Why, thank you, Co-Chair. On February 22nd, the Public Safety Subcommittee voted to recommend approval of a federal grant application by the Oregon Youth Authority to the U.S. Department of Justice for a second chance grant in the amount of up to $1 million. The funding would be used to augment ongoing efforts to refine the youth reformation system. Grant requirements focus on objective assessments, high-risk youth, using social skill development and behavioral interventions, and fidelity to evidence-based programs. The application is due March 8, 2016. The 50% match requirement will be met with existing staff. There is no ongoing maintenance of effort as the grant supplements and accelerates current efforts. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion on the motion. Seeing no discussion, is there objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Colleagues, that's it for tonight's agenda. We will be meeting again on Thursday, hopefully to wrap up the committee's work for this session. Thank you all who are working so hard on the subcommittees with the amount of bills that we are sending your way. Appreciate all the efforts you're making.
Okay,
we're adjourned.
It wasn't exactly...